Okay. Q&A. There are many girsa changes on the side of the Gemara. Which ones should we use when learning the Gemara? If it's a Bach or a Gilgan, does that have any more significance? So I'll tell you just in general. I mean, the Hagoyis of the Bach, I think, are Hagoyis of the Bach was a Magia, not for manuscripts, but for at least Svar. I think so. I don't think he was working for manuscripts. I think it was Magia Misvar. Svar doesn't necessarily mean that he thought that he had a Svar that the Gemara should read differently. I think very often it means that he looked at Rashi and Tosis, and what he's saying is, this is the gears that Rashi had and Tosis must have had in front of them. But yeah, they're important. Hagoyis of Bach are important as much as anything else. More generally, there's an issue, which is that, not an issue, just an interesting thing. There was a time that the Olam HaTorah was very, held at arm's length, anything that had to do with Kisayad, manuscripts. Ad Kedei Kach, that even Rishonim that were being produced from Kisviyad, new Rishonim that were being discovered, or new Kisviyad of existing Rishonim with different texts and so on. All of that was held at arm's length. Rav Soloveitchik, for example, he wouldn't look at the new Rishonim. He didn't look at it. He was like dismissive of it. And the Chazon Ish also was like and I think it had to do with the fact that it was seen as a threat. The people who were involved with this kind of work were maskilim, and it was seen as coming to subvert traditional learning. So they held it at arm's length to various degrees. Over time, that changed a lot. I mean, that's not true today. I mean, today, who puts out the new Rishonim or new editions of Rishonim with Hagoyis in the bottom? That kind of stuff used to be put out by the seminary. Today, who puts out the stuff that comes out from Machon Yerushalayim or other, or Machon Araisa and so on, single light from Lakewood and from Hebron, and it's got that stuff that really changed very much, that whole attitude. It's not a threat anymore. That kind of work is not seen as a threat, but rather, on the contrary, something that really supplements the regular learning and enriches the regular learning. And there's all kinds of Rishonim, Chachmei Provence, for example, from whom we had very, very little in the past. And now there's a whole literature from Chachmei Provence, and there are Rashi Yeshiva, or Mamash, they swim in Rav Ari Weizer, whom I quote a lot. He's very into Chachmei Provence. I heard him once say, on recording, I heard him once say that that all the many of the very radical Rav Chaims you could find in Rav Ravominar was from Chachmei Provence, also a new Rishonim. I mean, he's quoted by Rishonim, but to have his svarim, that's a new thing. So that's all done. And at the same time, the world of academic scholarship doesn't do that anymore. Because that stuff's not coming out anymore from the seminary. It's not coming out from academia. They're busy now with other things, with the evolution of the text and the history of the text and so on and so forth. And that's thing that's still, the world of the Beis Medrash holds that at arm's length. Will that change one day? I don't know. But even Gersois in the Babli, never mind Rishonim, but even various texts in the Babli from Kisvayad, I think that's also become something we're not afraid of it, because it's no longer a threat. It no longer has that association. So, obviously, part of being absorbed into the world of the Beis Medrash is that it's not the whole avodah. That's not the ikar learning, but as a supplement to the regular learning. I don't think that's problematic. And it's not just me personally. I think the Olam HaTorah has really absorbed that. I mean, who uses it? You go online, there's the digital archive of all the variant gisois of the Babel. B'nai Torah used that. I don't think too many other people use it. It's used by B'nai Torah. Who actually does the work, the Schwarzarbeit of collecting all the manuscripts, and it could be that there's academic people who are involved with that also. Maybe a certain kind of work that's done primarily by academic people. But it's used by the Olam HaTorah without any hesitation. It's not seen as problematic at all. I mean, who today would like not look at a Meiri because like it's, you know, a new vision? I mean, it would be absurd. Nobody would call him Sizzle. You know, maybe Rav Shechter still has like the Rav's attitude, but okay. But the Olam HaTorah in general, that's really past. But it's an interesting evolution. But it has to do with this. It used to be a threat. They were afraid it was going to subvert the regular learning. And today, it's that threat, like many other threats, you know, threats change. Chol Dor V'Dor is a different threat. So that's no longer a concern. So again, everything is the Lefi Mida. Everything, you know, that's not the Ikka learning, but I don't think that was the Bach's Ikka learning. Obviously, that wasn't the Bach's Ikka learning either, but no need to be so, we're not afraid of it. Yeah. White shirts. Does Rebbe think we should be wearing white shirts? And did Rebbe wear a white shirt in Gush? I really don't remember, but I doubt it. I'll tell you, nice, I was at a wedding not so long ago. And, you know, I wear a frock a lot of the time. I mean, not all the time, obviously, but formal occasions, a wedding, rabbinic occasions, Shabbos, I wear a frock. So I'm sitting next to a student from yeshiva, not from the shiur. So he asked me why I wear a frock. Okay. So I told him that I'm a Lakewood product. I'm a Rav from Brooklyn. My peers, people who are like me, in the same position as me, this is how they dress. And I have no desire to be seen as being an outsider. You know, somebody my age, with my background, my position in the world in general, with exceptions, but they're a cloud. This is how they dress. They dress in a mona derabanan, isil derabanan, what they call. So I go that way also because I don't want people to look at me that I'm different than everybody else. Not good for me, not good for anything. Why would I want that? So he asked me, so when should a person dress for other people and when should you dress the way you think is right? So that I had to shrug my shoulders and didn't even answer him because I see that he doesn't understand what I'm talking about. And then altogether I thought it was a chutzpah, so at that point I didn't pursue the conversation. But that's a silly question. By definition, we always dress for other people. If we only dress for ourselves, we wear pajamas all day. clothing is a cultural artifact. Rabbi Yochanan would call his clothing mechabdunse, what gives me dignity. You dress for other people. You dress according to how you want other people to look at you, how you want to be perceived, how you want to interact with other people. Clothing is a statement of how you want other people to look at you. So that's true. So that's true in general. So if a Ventura, I think, wants to be perceived, wants other people to look at him, wants to look at the mirror and see himself as being a Ventura, that's the idea. So what does that mean to look like a Ventura? That's going to depend, obviously, on the particular culture that you're in. It's not going to be the same in different cultures, you know. If you go back in time, I don't think Chazal wore fedoras or white shirts or they had other clothing. But in every society, in every culture where you are, there's a certain surah of a Rav, certain surah of a Talmid Chacham, certain surah of somebody who's aspiring to be Talmid Chacham, and a person dresses in a way that will be in accord with that. But that's not going to be the same. What that's exactly going to look like is not going to be the same in Lakewood as it is in Gush, and it's not going to be the same in Gush as it is in Chofetz Chaim. And every circle has its conceptions of what a Rav looks like, what a Rishiva looks like, what a Yuman looks like, what a Ventura looks like. But and you should dress accordingly. You should dress accordingly. We're not looking, in the street. You see people. How do they wear? They want to be. They want to express themselves. So they have tattoos and earrings and nose rings and all of this stuff. And why? Because they want to express their individuality. Even though what individuality? You look exactly like the other guy with the tattoo. But I don't think the way you don't dress to express his individuality. He expresses in a way that's just quiet and dignified and expresses the fact that He sees himself as a Mitaira, and that's how he wants to be perceived. So is that a white shirt? If you're a Lakewood, that's a white shirt. You know, and why you? I don't think that it has to entail a white shirt. It could, but Akapanim, there's a certain there's no hard and fast rules. But the person should dress in a way that's, but the Torah should dress in a way that's dignified and semi rabbinic, depending on how far along he is. Should be semi rabbinic. You know. If you're not a rabbi, but you think if you're a tzurban rabbanon. Tzurban rabbanon doesn't dress the way a rabbanon dresses, but he dresses the way a tzurban rabbanon dresses. Hakolofia.
Rebbe has said before that one shouldn't feel like an outsider when he's going to other yeshivas.
Yeah.
Is it possible that one may feel like an outsider if he's wearing a colored shirt or a polo t-shirt going to...
There's a nekuda there. I think there is a nekuda there. I think it is important not to feel like an outsider in the Olam HaTorah. That it shouldn't be a situation where why you guys feel that if they go to they go to an event of in which are participating people from all different yeshivas, they shouldn't feel like an outsider. That doesn't mean you have to dress exactly the way they dress in Lakewood when you go to such an event. But I think in general, there is such an inyan not to look like a not to everything has to be balanced. I don't think it means, on the other hand, that if the whole time you dress with a colored shirt and kippah suga, and then when you go to something where there's going to be Lakewood guys, you put on a white shirt and a black hat. I think there's also something funny about that. Yeah. I think a Chofetz Chaim guy who goes to Lakewood, does he feel like an outsider because he's not wearing a white shirt? I don't think he feels like an outsider. He feels like a Chofetz Chaim guy, but it's not so outside. I don't think why you were so outside either. Should be, at least I don't think it should be so outside. Anyway, I'm not telling any clothing. Not my place to tell people how to dress. I'm just saying a hargosha. You dress like a mentor. What that means is different in every place. The reason the kuda, what you're saying is very, I think that's very important, not to feel like an outsider. That's one of the reasons why I think guys should learn Yiddish. A little bit, and that's matter, not to be fluent. Guys in Lakewood also not fluent in Yiddish, believe me. But to have a smattering, so that when somebody's giving a shmuz, you go to hear you go to hear somebody give a, whoever, you go to hear a Eli Brunner give a shmuz in English. But it's obviously going to be laced with a lot of Yiddish. You should know. You should be able to understand it. You should have enough Yiddish to understand it. You shouldn't feel like I'm on the outside. I don't think that's a healthy feeling. Okay, it's not so hard now. Duolingo has Yiddish. Not such a hard thing. Okay, fine. Let's learn. So I want to be basic in the Rosh. So we saw in the Rosh, called on the Gvar, the Rosh says in the Tshuva, it's a Siluk. But the Rosh in the Halacha says, and the Tshuva also says, that they were that Chazal was soimech on the fact that Zesh Adin Imoy will be Yusser Nashay, will be more Meis and Nefesh, and is more likely to win. So yesterday, I said, oh, Mahalach, which I still think is correct, that to explain why the Rosh needs that. What do you need it for? It says, see, look, we don't want to pass the Chayku, so we're Mistalik, so we're so-called Olam Gvar, whoever becomes the Muxik, because I'm Meisim Mekhver Olam Arayim. But what did the Rosh need to be Meisim, this new Svar, Mishadini Moyim Sinash Yosef? So I explained that the Rosh was bothered, the Rosh after all holds, that Slay Mistabish, Yisakna Chacham, Shukoli Meim Bimiriba. So it's not enough just to be Mistalik and let one guy grab it, and it'll be a Meisim Mekhver Olam Arayim. If we're going to do that, then the other guy will be able to grab it back, and it'll be Kol Yemein B'Meriba. So we need more than that. We want somehow that through our siluk, we want to justify that through our being mistalik, the one who grabs it, it'll become, I think Lashon the Rosh is Kishaloi. It'll become like his, that the other guy won't be able to grab it anymore. It'll be like grabbing an asshole. So how does that happen? There's a suffix. The suffix hasn't gone away just because somebody grabbed it, HaMaisim Mechvel of Araya, but the suffix is still here. So therefore, the Rosh needs to give a hesbet that somehow the suffix is not here anymore. It's not that we have achro, we weren't machri the suffix, we don't have any riot. The Rosh doesn't say a loshen of chazok, kol mashtachas yodere yeshaloi. And we had riots anyway, there's no such bureau of kol mashtachas yodere yeshaloi. We want it should be that the old suffix is gone, and then we could say that he's holding it, and Mechatesa, people must stop about it. Yes, lanu liyoy. It's called over shudach zidei yodushalim. Yes, lanu liyoy shushalim. So therefore, the Russian introduces the svara that when he's typhus it, the old suffix already has changed. There's like a change in the old suffix. The old suffix was, we don't know whose it is, Zayim HaShalavaisi, Zayim HaShalavaisi, that's all the information that we have. That was the suffix. Now there's like new information in the system. Among that was typhus, he was Moshe Nashi Yaiser. So Mokam Lashub, then maybe that changes the profile of the suffix. So it's not a raya that it's his. If there's a, to the extent that there's a suffix, we don't have a raya that it's his. But it's not the old suffix anymore. Once it's not the old suffix anymore, so we want to sort of starting from scratch. We don't know if it's his or not. We have no evidence that it's his. Well, no evidence that it's his. Kol dovah shu biyadod lemechates to be mistafik. That's based on this havana that this havana. What does the Rosh mean? Kol dovah shu biyadod lemechates lanu liyosh shu shaloi. That it's not b'tayras raya. It's b'tayras mechates to have a suffik. We take things at face value. We're not ma'aris fakus without a reason. You have such svaros in Achayim. Rav Chanan has a big arichas in Yevamos, not about this, but about the other inyanim. Rav Chanan has a lot of examples of such things where Mashal, he talks about why is a kohen allowed to go into a house? Maybe there's a mace there. Every time, you don't know. Maybe every time a kohen goes into a house, you should check it out first, make sure somebody in first to make sure there's no mace. So you'll say, well, maybe it's a chazaka. In Achrayim, Sofek Tum Rishisayochim, maybe Chazaka doesn't help. Roiv, Chazaka, Cheskes Chai, Roiv. It's a Sofek Tum Rishisayochim. The sheet isn't placed in that in Sofek Tum Rishisayochim, Roiv doesn't help, Chazaka doesn't help. So how do you ever go into a house? So says Elohan, it's not a Sofek. There's no reason to have a Sofek. If there will be a Sofek, then Roiv won't help, and Cheskes Chai won't help, because Sofek Tum Rishisayochim, you know, called Sveikish of Tamar, but they're not going to help. But just to walk into a house, make a taste and have a sofik in the first place. It's the same kind of idea. You see something, you're the shalom. I don't know, if to the extent that it's a sofik, there's no right. If it presents itself as a sofik, here it's in the street, it's a sofik. So you with the marakama, this guy was holding it afterwards, he took it off the tree, that's nothing, that's not a right, anything. Maybe he's a thief. But to the extent that it's that it just presents itself to us, that he's holding it, so we're not conspiracy theorists. We take our facts at face value. So therefore, since the old suffix is not here anymore, so the mele we can start kilu from scratch that kodova should be adon yeshlan liyoy should kishaloi, and the first person becomes kishaloi, and therefore the second person can't be typhusit, and they won't be kolimei b'murit. Not kan from yesterday's shiur. The problem is, the Rosh in the Halachas is another svar. Besides the svar that Zeh Shehadin Imo Yimsa Nafsho Yoyser, the Rosh also said that Zeh Shehadin Imo Koroi Blahavi Rayas. The Rosh in Simon Chav Beis said, right, the Lashon of the Rosh was, and still is, Chachom posku kol dolim v'pam hazois govar v'som chaze v'chol mishadin ima yikor lo avirayis v'oi mishadin ima yimsa nash l'hamid shaloi biyodim mash yimsa ha'achim l'gzo v'oi yoyimer ma'betze sh'em sa nash. So there's really two svars here. There's one, mishadin ima yikor lo avirayis, and then number two, mishadin ima yikor lo is going to be govar. So that first svara, Misha din imis lo imoi korav lo havi rayas. What does that mean? Why? What does that have to do? Never mind my shtickle Torah. Stop shot in the rush. What does that have to do with kol dolim gvar? Why is that a reason to say kol dolim gvar? Kol dolim gvar is not rayas. Kol dolim gvar means whoever grabs it becomes shel kishalai. Let's say kol dolim gvar because Misha din imoi is going to bring rayas. What does that have to do with anything? If we'll bring rice, we'll bring rice. But that's nothing to do with kol dolim gvar. Akoponim, it doesn't explain why we're saying kol dolim gvar, because maybe he'll bring rice. What does that do with anything? Mamish, what's the infertile?
The Rosh has been sure that if Adam come later and rice are brought later, then we would overturn the jain. So it could be even if even though Bedarek Klal, the person who's right, fights harder and wins, in a situation where he would lose, like, we don't need to worry because he'll be caught up with Meiraz.
But why is that a reason to say Kol Dolengua over anything else? So whatever I pass can be, later on he'll bring rice. Like, okay, fine, we have this safety net. But that's not a reason to say called L'chayr, not the reason to say called L'chayr more than any other psalm. So what's the translation? So L'chayr, this line in the Rosh is not coming to explain why we say called L'chayr. It's coming to explain why we don't say Yachleiku. Because if we'll say Yachleiku, and we're going to give right away each one half, then the fellow who's Hadin Imoi, maybe he's going to bring Raias. And now his Raias are not going to help. Why won't his Raias help? If we'll bring Raias, so we'll overturn. So this has to touch the Fichu Chosolat. Let's imagine a case. Two people are Schneider and Metalis. We say Yachleiku. Zemer, I need to see a Zemer, say Yachleiku. Comes along one fellow and he brings a raya. After they said Yachleiku, one of them comes and brings rayas that he picked it up by himself. So does he win? Reuben brought rayas. So it depends. If Shimon just sticks with his old story and said Ani Mitzasiyo, and Reuben has rayas, Edim, whatever it is, documentary footage, that he was the one who picked it up, so Nevada Shimon loses. But if Shimon's smart, or he has a smart lawyer, so Shimon can turn around and say, you know what, Yitaka picked it up first, true, you picked it up first, but meanwhile, in the interim, I bought it from you. Shimon would win. Because Shimon is the muchsuk. Shimon, we gave Shimon half the talis. He's muchsuk and half the talis. He claims, a new claim, that he bought it. The Edim are not contradicting that. The Edim just say that Reuben picked it up first, but they don't contradict that maybe Reuben sold it to Shimon. So Shimon could walk away with the talis. So Shimon can, if we don't split the talis, if we leave the talis in limbo, and Reuben brings rice that he picked it up first, then Shimon cannot tell me that I bought it, because he has no right that he bought it. That's like Naskel. If Shimon proves that he picked it up first, now we know that it's Shimon's talis. Now Reuben had brought rice that he picked it up first. Now we know that it's Reuben's talis. Shimon says that he bought it. That's like Naskel der Baba. That's worthless. But if we're going to give it to them and say Achleiku, then we're going to prevent Reuben from bringing rice. So therefore, that's as far not to say Achleiku, and to say Kol Dolen Gvar. Now, what's Kol Dolen Gvar better? Kol Dolen Gvar, and maybe Shimon will be Goyver, and it'll be the same thing. Now Shimon has it, and Shimon will be able to say, I bought it. Ein Echanami. But it's going to take what? It's going to take time for Shimon to be Goyver. Meanwhile, at least there's an opportunity for Reuben to go and find rice. So, L'chayr, that's the Poshet of Shach and the Rosh. Just a simple translation of the words that Misha didn't even carve of Erais is a svara not to say Yachleiku. It's to delay as much as possible giving it to Shimon or giving some of it to Shimon. Keep it in limbo as long as possible in order to give Reuben the maximum opportunity to come up with Erais. So therefore, we're reluctant to say Yachleiku. So it's not a hesber why we should say Kol Dolen Gvar. It's just a hesber why not to say Yachleiku. I have hands up there.
Why is it that we can't go back on the skin of Yachleiku? The Gemara Mam and Aleph, we had a case where two people said Zavos, Shal Vezai, and that he also had
Chesed. Yeah, we could reverse the Din of Yachleiku, but if he just Tainas, you know, if he stays with the old Tainas, so we'll reverse, he loses, because his Tainas is against Edom. But if he comes up with a new Tainas, that Anila Kachti Mimcho, so then, he's in possession of the Talas, he's a Muxik of the Talas, and he has a Tainas of Lakachti. It's like any contract, it's like if I'm a Marakam on a Gemara, but the Gemara is sitting by you. And you tie to Lakachti, so you win. I'm the Murakama, I can prove that I'm the one who, I can show you that I bought this Gemara from the farm store, I have the sales receipt, we know that I'm the Murakama. But if it's sitting by you, you can tie to Lakachti. So the same thing with the Talis, even though I can document that I'm the one who picked up the Talis first. But if it's sitting by you, or if half of it is already, we already awarded you half of it, and half of it is sitting by you, then you could say that I bought it. You bought it for me. That's always true. So reversing the Din of Yachleiku is not going to help. The fact is that you're holding the talis. So we're not in a hurry to give you the talis. I think that's the Poshut of Shach. Yeah, one more question, but I want to move on. Yeah.
But in that case, in order to get half the talis, you have to take a shvua on half that you found it and that you own at least half the talis.
Right.
So now if he makes a new claim that, yeah, you're right, really, you picked the whole thing up from Lakhti, That means that he's admitting that he swore falsely.
No,
he all that money.
Well, he may be admitting that he swore falsely, or swore mistakenly at least. He swore mistakenly. Gemara says they could be mistaken.
But then he loses the chazaka that got him the talis in the first place.
No, he'll lose. He's still a Matzim Mechel of Rai. He's still holding the talis. It's no different than if I have a Gemara and you're...
The talis only came about because Bezdin awarded it to him.
It doesn't matter. What if we don't know? It doesn't matter how he got to be holding the talis. If he's holding the talis and he has a taina that he bought it for me, so then that's like any person who has a taina that he bought it. I don't investigate how he comes to be holding it. He's loving. Why is it different as Rav Shulam Lahashul Lahasker? Yeah, we know how it was Bali Bali Yodai. I mean, that's a poshut happening. That's so poshut. It's true that if we find my Gemara sitting by you, you could tell me that you bought it. But that's only if we don't know how the Gemara came into your possession. But what if we know how you got the Gemara? For example, we saw you borrow the Gemara. And then you claim, yeah, after I borrowed the Gemara, I bought it. So then you cannot be Maitzi from Murakami. Because then, since that's called Dvar Masuim Lahashul Lahaskim. Things that are normally rented out, normally lent out, the fact that you're holding it is not enough to be Maitzi from Murakami. Since we know Hech Volo Yodoi, so there's no suffocate to be Mafkir from the Murakami. So the Chavir here, we know how he got after Talis, based and gave it to him. So if the guy could bring Rias that he found it, if later on the guy comes with Rias, then Lechaira, he should be able to be mitzi from the other fellow, even if the other fellow time is lekachti.
Doesn't
Rebbe's
pshat still work though? It's yachol mikmalmosos, we're not going to say yachol. Not because the first guy can't be mitzi.
You know, that's the problem. But the Rosh saying, I want to get to that, but the Rosh seems to be saying that the reason why we don't say yachol is because he's karev l'havi rayis. It's because we think that the guy's going to bring rice, so we don't want to say achlek. We would rather say kol dolim uvak. So I'm going to talk in a second. What about the Gemara? About lekikul nekum al lemilso? We'll come to that in a second. But I just thought the pshat and the Rosh can't be saying a hesber why we do say kol dolim uvak. Because what does the fact that it can bring rice have to do with saying why is that a reason to say kol dolim uvak? It's a reason not to say achlek. So I'm saying a hesber because if we'll say achlek, then even if it brings rice, it's too late. The guy will tainu lekachter. Not so pushed. Maybe he cannot tainu lakachti because it's we know ech baliyoder. So if I can bring rice that it was originally mine, that makes me the Murakama. If I'm the original Murakama, then you can't tainu lakachti anymore. If we know how you got it. So what's the pshat over here? Karav lo havi rice. Why not say echleku? They will say like the Rashbam, we're afraid he'll sell it away. Like the Rashbam said by Arba, you know, why does he want us to be Teufis the Arba? The guy wanted us to be Teufis the Arba because if we're going to say Kol Dolim, meanwhile he's looking for Rias, so we're afraid that meanwhile he's going to sell it down the river and we won't be able to get back the boat. So maybe Al Derech Zeh will say here in the Rosh. We don't want to say Achleiku. We're going to say Achleiku, you're going to give him the talis. What's he going to do with the talis? He'll sell it, he'll give it to a, he'll pawn it, and it won't be here anymore. Then the guy's going to bring Rias, we're stuck. So we want to delay. We want to delay the awarding of the thing. So it's a reason not to say achlek. And lechayr is something. I want to move on. There's a lot more to say. This is the first leg. I think that's the pshat in the pshat. If there's another pshat in the rush, I don't know. I don't see another pshat in the rush. Lechayr is a reason not to say achlek. But there's a problem here because not to say achleku. The Gemara says why we don't say achleku. The Gemara when it asks the steer, how can we say kol dolim gvar by Arba and by Zayim Shalavaisai and by And by Shnei Shtaros, the Yitzhak Yemechad, we say Echleikum. So the Gemara says, because here it's Ikal Lemechem Elo Demilsa. By case of Kol Dol and Gvar, by Zer Mishal Vaisa, Zer Mishal Vaisa, or by Arba, it's Ikal Lemechem Elo Demilsa. The truth might eventually come out, and Rashi, the Rashbam explained, and therefore it's a Gnai based in Tepaskin Yechleikum. So why is the Rosh giving me a different reason? That's the first two steps here in the Cheshbon. The Rosh has this svara. We say Kol Dol and Gvar. First of all, because he's in Nefesh Nefesh, so that was yesterday's year. But he also has this other business. We say Kol Dol and Gvar because he's Korav Lohavi Rais. What does Korav Lohavi Rais have to do with saying Kol Dol and Gvar? So the Chari means, since he's Korav Lohavi Rais, we don't want to say Achleiku. Because when we say Achleiku, he's gonna sell it away. We won't be able to get it back. So we want to delay. So we walk away. Yeah, Kol Dol and Gvar. We walk away so we don't take it later. We're not taifis it. But we walk away. We're not taifis it because we don't know that he's going to bring rice. And anyways, Machlaik is tafsino, late tafsino. And even when it is tafsino, only if the guy says he's going to bring rice. But Stam is saying we're not tafsino. But we walk away and we hope that meanwhile, at least there's time for the guy to go in and bring rice. So it's a hezbir why we don't want to say Achlaik. But the problem is, but the Gemara says a different hezbir why we don't say Achlaik. Because it's ikal lemekam alo demilso, and therefore there's going to be a gnai based in. So it's a problem in the Rashba. So here, l'chara, what we could say, that the Rosh learned that's pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say the words gnai based in. The Gemara just says that we say kol dol and gvar, and not yachleku, because it's ikal lemekam alo demilso. Maybe the Rosh had a different translation. The Rashbam says, Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso means, we may find out, and it'll be a Gnai based in. Maybe the Rosh had a different shot. It's Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso. And that means you could establish the truth. And it's Karav Loimar that Misha Dinima is going to establish the truth. And that's why we don't want to say, Yachleik. We want to give him time to establish the truth. Maybe this is a different shot than Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso. Problem is that the Rosh in the Tshuva says the Feirish, like the Rashbam, that Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso has to do with Gnai based. But so that's a problem. But here the plot thickens, because it's hakeh interesting that the Rosh in the Tshuva does not say this business about Misha Dinimai Karav Lohavi Rais. He only says the other piece about Misha Dinimai Yimsa Nafshi Yos. Misha Dini Mei Korb Lohavi Rais does not appear in the Rashbam. It does not appear in the Tshuva Sarosh. So, maybe we could say, Agam, not what we would really want to say, but maybe we could say, there's a Chazor in the Rosh. I don't know which one is first, but there's a Chazor here in the Rosh. And the Rosh in the Tshuvas learned Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso means Gnai Beistin. The reason why we don't say Achleiku is because of Gnai Beistin. So he doesn't have to explain why we don't say Achleiku. He explains why we don't say Achleiku. He says, because Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso, and there's a Gnai based, and he echoes the Rashbam. So why we don't say Achleiku is understood. So he doesn't have to say anything about Korav Lohavi Rais, that he doesn't have to say. Mashenkin, the Rosh here in the Halachas, he maybe learned the Gemara that Ikal Lemekam Elo Demilso, that it means that he's Korav Lohavi Rais. So we want to give him time, Lohavi Rais. That's what it means. Some chalas there, the Misha Dinim, Karav Lohavi Rais. We're talking two different approaches. Again, it's very hard. It's not the thing we normally want to say with the Rosh was Chazir. But Ulai is a Chazor here in the Rosh. It's not exactly the same in the Rosh and the Tshuva and the Rosh over here. And here is maybe the Makabat Patish. So it'll come out as like this. They all say, both the Rosh and the Tshuva and the Rosh and the Halochas, the piece about Misha Dinima Yimser Nafsha Yoyser, that they all say. They both say. Both Roshes. Because that's not an explanation of why we don't say Achleiku. That's an explanation of how we can say Kol Dol and Gvar. Let's say the way I explained yesterday, because they're going to be Kol Yomei and Bimariva. No. There's a svara over here that the old suffix is gone. This is a ksas svara that when she's typhusit, somehow it weakens the original suffix. So now that allows us to say that Kol Dol should be Adonim Yeshlan Olaf Shushalei. Like the Lashon of the Rosh in the Tshuva. So that's that they both have in common, the Rosh and the Halachas and the Rosh and the Tshuva. But the difference between the two is that the Rosh and the Halachas also adds that Misha Adin Imoy is Korb Lovi Rayas, and the Rosh and the Tshuva doesn't say that, but he brings the Gemara about Ikol Mekel Modem Milso that it's a Gnai based. Because maybe that's not going to, there's a Chazar. The Rosh and the Tshuva was going with the Rashbam, that the Pshat, the Gemara Ikol Mekel Modem Milso is for sure a reason not to say Achleko. But the Rosh and the Tshuva understood that to mean, like the Rashbam, that since it may come out, that the truth may come out, we don't want to open ourselves up for Gnai Basin. And the Rosh and the Halach has learned, Ikol Mekel Modem Milso means that he himself could be Mekel Modem Milso. He himself could bring the Rayas. It's carved that he himself will bring the Rayas to prove his case, and therefore we want to give him a chance. So here, maybe we could say a nice thing. No, that question, but maybe here we can say a nice thing. The Rosh and the Tshuva stresses that Kol Dvar is not a Psak HaTzisiluk. The Rosh and the Halachas, not only does he not say that, but he says the Rosh and the Ilam of the Leimdim have pointed out for hundreds of years, that the Rosh and the Rosh and the Tshuva in the Halachas is Ela Chachomim Posku Kol Dolim. Sounds like it's a Psak. Yeah, so I guess the normal way to say it doesn't mean mamish tzak. It means this, we just walk away. That's what it means. We paskin that we should walk away and not paskin, and we paskin not the paskin. But maybe it's geish the one begoy that it's kaka goes l'shitos. The Rosh in the tshuva who learns like the Rashbam that the reason why we don't say achleiku is because of gnai based in. We don't want to paskin because if then in the end new evidence arises, so we don't want to have egg on our face. So that's why we don't want to paskin. So he's at pains to stress Kol Dolan Gvar is not a psak. Because if Kol Dolan Gvar was a psak, then what do you gain by saying Kol Dolan Gvar? Maybe it'll be Kol Dolan Gvar, maybe Shimon will be Gaver, and then Arias will come out that it's really Reuben and it's going to be Bezoyus. So he has to say, no, Kol Dolan Gvar is not a psak. Kol Dolan Gvar is a siluk. From a siluk, you don't have Gnai based him. But the Rosh and the Halachas doesn't learn that that's the pshat Nikol and Mekol and the Milser. He learns it's nothing to do with Gnai based. And Nikol and Mekol and the Milser means we want to give the person who's at the Imoy a chance to bring Arias because he's Karav Lahavi Arias. Maybe he'll bring Arias soon. So you don't see anything in Gemara about Gnai based. That doesn't in his Gemara that doesn't appear. So then a kaver will be that Kol Dolan Gvar is a kind of psak. Again, I don't think it's a psak with the birur, because Misha Din Imoy Yimsa Nafshay Yonsa is not a birur. It's a psak that it just allows us to say Misha Din Imoy Yimsa is Yesh Lanu Lach Misha 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 Kol Dolan Shutachas Yedodom Yesh Lanu Lach Shushaloi. I'm not changing anything. They both agree, both the Rosh in the Halachas and the Rosh in the Tshuva, they both agree that the way it works is not that we are a Mevarer that is his. It's not trial by combat that we say the guy who won the battle, he's definitely the one to whom the karka belongs to. About a chasm lehask, we don't have such a, it's not a bureau. If it was a bureau, we would all say Kol Dolan Gvar. How come I want to see you? We don't say Kol Dolan Gvar. Say Kol Dolan Gvar. We'll be able to, they know who that misses. Misha din ima yimse nafshe tfe. So we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Because oichsim ein lo noniach sheigzol echad es chaveri. What do you mean? Yigzol echad es chaveri. Misha din ima yimse nafshe tfe. He'll win. Avada, there's no 100% assurance that he'll win. He might lose, and it's gonna be gezel. That's why, and that's why oichsim we can't say kol dolan gvar. If kol dolan gvar was always a remedy, if kol dolan gvar always determined the truth, then that's it. We could already have a choshe mishpat, and we'll just every time we have a difficult entire, we'll just put on boxing gloves and we'll see. Mishadinim, yimse nafshit fe. Avada, that's not true. Nobody claims that that's true. The Rosh, Avada, everybody agrees over here that basically we're just allowing them to fight it out. And then, since there's a ksas svara that mishadinim, yimse nafshit fe, it weakens the original suffix, and that allows us to look at it with fresh eyes and to say, kol bova shutachas yadonim yesh lanu l'rishu pshot. I don't think the Rosh and the Tshuva and the Rosh and the Lochas are arguing about that. But they argue about how to characterize it. The Rosh and the Lochas, and maybe it's not even a machlekes, but they're stressing different aspects. The Rosh and the Lochas stresses that it's a siluk. Because he wants to explain why it doesn't create Gnai Basin. Because it's not a Gnai Basin because we're not giving it to him, we're walking away. So there's no Gnai Basin. The Rosh and the Halachos doesn't have to stress that, doesn't have to say that, because he doesn't have an issue by him, Gnai Basin doesn't make an appearance. He doesn't have a Gemara about Gnai Basin, so he doesn't need to explain to me that it's not a psak, it's only a siluk. So the Rosh in the Halachas is stressing something else. He's explaining that what we're doing is going to wind up with a good outcome. It's going to come out with an outcome that we're going to look at it as kishaloi. It's not going to be an outcome of suffix. It's going to be an outcome of, at the end of the day, we're not going to have a suffix anymore. We're going to walk away without a suffix. Because there's a sorem, he said an imoy, and therefore we'll look at it with fresh eyes, and it'll become a case of kaldova shubiyadon and yeslan liyos shukishaloi. So the outcome will be that it won't remain a suffix anymore. We'll have a hachra in the suffix. Not the term is birur, but in this other way, in this softer way. So the Rosh calls that a psak. He's not reluctant. The Rosh in the tshuva doesn't want to call it a psak because he doesn't want to stress it. He wants to drive home that it's not. We're not giving it to him, so it's not a gnai based. Yeah, the Rosh in the Halachas doesn't need to stress that because I think that's not important. So he explains that it's not kol yomei b'meriva. It's not a suffix. It doesn't remain a suffix. If it remained a suffix, it would be kol yomei b'meriva. So he says, no, at the end of the day, it's not going to be a suffix because we're sort of going to make it like a psak. The result is going to be psak-like. That the one who gets it is going to be kishaloi and nobody else is going to be able to take it away from him. They won't be kol yomei b'meriva. So again, it might not even be, it may be two ways of saying the same thing. But each one, the shitosai, means the same person, but assuming that they're not identical, assuming some kind of chazal over here, so each one, the shitosai, stresses the nekuda that's relevant to what he's saying. So the kitzur adorim is to sum up, what I want to bring out of this rush is that there's two nekudas. In this, every case of kodol v'ah, why don't we say achleku? And then, how we justified in saying kodol v'ah, especially in the Rosh that we don't want kol yomei b'meriva. If you don't care about kol yomei b'meriva, like Tosis thinks, yeah, kol yomei b'meriva, Tosis and Kufay says that's how it is, kol yomei b'meriva. So then you don't have to explain so much how we say kodol v'ah if you're willing to live with kol yomei b'meriva. So if we don't paskin, then it's kol yomei b'meriva and finished. But the Rosh doesn't want to have kol yomei b'meriva. So by him, Kol Dolengvar has to from Kol Dolengvar has to emerge that he really keeps it. So you have to explain two things. Why are we not saying Achleiku? Other places we say Achleiku. And you have to also explain why Kol Dolengvar results that they're not Kol Yomei B'Meriva. So why it results that it's not Kol Yomei B'Meriva, they both say the same thing. Because Misha Adin Ima Yimso Nafshet Fei. So the Misha Adin Ima Yimso Nafshet Fei allows that when the first guy is goyver, it becomes kishaloi. Yesterday's shiur is that's not pateris birur; it's pateris this other different kind of process. However, it is exactly the fact that the being goyver is somehow evidence or a reason to think that it's his, that he was meisa nashu tvei. That allows that when he's goyver forever, and the other guy can't be tefes. That explains that part. But we still have to explain the other part. Why not say achleiku? Lots of times we say achleiku. Achleiku is better because this is a very if this was a really good way to proceed, then we would always do this. Like I said before, then but they didn't we do this all the time? We'd just say kol dolan gvar. Obviously, this is not our first choice to say kol dolan gvar. Our first choice is more to say achleiku. So why not say achleiku? So gave them a schalik. The Rosh and the Tshuva follows the Rashbam. I mean, the Gemara says a reason. The Gemara says because ikulamekam alad milsa. That's the Gemara. The Gemara gives the reason. Ikulamekam alad milsa. What does it mean? So the Rosh and the Tshuva says, Gnai Basin. We don't want to pass it over here because it'll be a Gnai Basin. So I call the Gemara also a psak. So he says, no, it's not a psak. It's a siluk. So there's no Gnai Basin. The Rosh and the Halachas, on the other hand, he says it is a psak. He calls it a psak. So why is there no Gnai Basin? The Torah says he doesn't learn that Misha Dinit. He doesn't learn Ikulamekam alad milsa means Gnai Basin. He learns Ikulamekam alad milsa means that he's Karav Lavi Rais. That's how he translates Ikulamekam alad milsa. That the truth could be established, and let's give him time to establish it. So let's not go in such a hurry to be say Achleiku. And say Achleiku, maybe this guy is going to sell it away. Let's stall. Call Dolengvar. That way we'll give him a chance. Meanwhile, that he'll be able to be Gaiva the Rais. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. So, Tamar, right there. Umayish no mi hodis tan, המחלף פרו וחמור ויולדו וכן המחל שבחוסר יולדו זה משל עד שלא מחרתי יולדו וזה ממשלקחתי יולדו יחלקו. So how come over there we say יחלקו? Rashi and Tosfos both learn it's a kasha on Rav Nachman. Why don't we say, how come over there we say yachleku and here we say kol dolon v'lach? And the Rashbam explains, this is also ikal lemekam odinus. You can't answer it before we answer the ikal lemekam there. We answer the difference ikal lemekam odinus and lekal lemekam odinus. That by shtei shars, the yitzim ikal mechad is lekal lemekam odinus, so there's no gnai based, and so we say yachleku. By zemesh levoisai, it's ikal lemekam odinus, so there might be gnai based, and so we don't want to say yachleku. By Machal Par Bechamor, says the Rashbam, there's also a possibility of Gnai Bastin. It's also Ikal Mekal Mother Milsa. Maybe Adam will come and they'll tell me the exact time when the Par gave birth. And we have, let's say, we'll find Adam, or maybe we have Adam, and maybe we even know when exactly the sale took place. So Mimela, that's also Ikal Mekal Mother Milsa. So that distinction doesn't help us over here. So how come over there we say Achleku and by Rav Nachman we say Kol Dolan Gla? That's the Gemara's kasha. Zokter Ashba. Yachleku. Umayshna. It's about halfway down the Rashbam, the last word of the line. Umayshna hodr of Nachmi machle par v'chamor. V'kheim v'shamosh v'chal ha-par v'chamor. V'chamor niknes ha-par l'bal ha-chamor. V'chal mokum shu. V'metalten niknes m'chalipin. V'zan b'kidushin. V'chal yasa dobe v'ach ha-kheim v'shazoch v'zan nishay v'zer b'chalipin. V'lachein en ha-dobe yadu ha-vlad shal mihu. Shalei roi ha-dainis perosei. Right, so we don't know, he never even saw the paro. They were busy with the chamor. The paro is, that's why the Mishnah chooses the case of machlat paro b'chamor. Why? The point is they made a kinyan in the paro and they don't know when it happened, before the birth or after the birth. So why talk about, what does the chamor have to do with anything? Why talk about machlat paro b'chamor? Because usually when you buy a paro, you meshich the paro. So if you meshich the paro, you could see, did she give birth yet, did she not give birth yet? Chalipin is a kinyan at a distance. You kind of the para could be in Chicago and you could be in New York and you're meshich the chamor in New York and you're kind of the para in the other guy's meshich the chamor in New York and you're kind of the para in Chicago. So and then you come to Chicago and there's a baby. So you have no way of knowing when it happened. That's why it's a suffer. I'm skipping a few lines in Rashi. Ubeperek hashoyel, in the middle of the line. Umeperek Hashoyel Parach, the Gemara in Hashoyel asks, "Benechse b'shus deman kaimu, v'le'avida chamitzim mechaber olacharayim." The Gemara Mitzi asks, "Let's see where the vlad is. Is the vlad in the shus of the meicher? Is the vlad in the shus of the lekeach? It'll be chamitzim mechaber olacharayim. Umeshani the kaimu ba'agam, that it's not sitting in anybody's shus, so there's no chamitzim mechaber olacharayim." So this is diyuk here. The Gemara over there in Mamatzila goes like this. The Gemara Taka asks, "V'lechsi b'shusu d'man kaima v'levi d'chamaisim mechaver l'varai." And the Gemara answers, "The kaima ba'agum. It's not sitting in anybody's shus." The Gemara then asks another question. But why? Let's give it to the Marakama. The seller of the parah is the Marakama. When the vlad was before the vlad was born, it belonged to the Baal Parah. The question is if it's gone over now to the fellow who bought the par. But this baby, certainly before it was born, belonged to the Balapar. At least sometime before it was born, it belonged to the Balapar. The question is maybe at the time, you know, maybe later that changed. So there's a Marakama. Let's give it to the Marakama. The last person whom we know owned this vlad before it was born. What's the difference? But the last person. So the Gemara answers, "How many sumchasi the Amar Maman Amutul B'Safik Chalik and Bleishu?" And in Chanami, this mission is going like sumchas that Maman Amutul B'Safik you give to Yechalik. You don't give it to the Marakam. So Chalikas Yishainim. Now that we've said that it's going like sumchas, do we still need to say that it's Kaima Ba'agam? So Taisus and the Mamsiya brings Bashem the Rashbam that we still need to say that it's Kaima Ba'agam. Because the Machaika Sumchas and Chachamim and Sumchas is Din, that Maman Amutu Basafik is Chalukin and it's Maitzi from a Marakama. We say Chaluka even against the Marakama, but that's against the Marakama. But against somebody who's Muchsik B'Poyol, Sumchas agrees that Maitzi Mechavel of Arai. That Maman Amutu Basafik is not enough to say achleiku when somebody's actually holding it. It's only when it's kind of the agma, but one person's the marakama, that's when sumcha says chalku. So therefore, even after we've said that it's going like sumchus, that just explains why we don't go give it to the marakama. But we still need to, we could still ask, but less ibshus of the mankaima, we still need to say that it's kind of the agma. Taisus is chalit. Taisus says, no, it's not true. According to sumchus, maman amutu basafi chalkin, even if it's a one person's shushus. And therefore, now that we said it's going like sumchus, we don't need any more than the teretz of kaima bagam. There's another machlekes yishayinim. How do we pass them like sumchus and not like sumchus? The Rashbam, later in Daf Samach Gimel, says the halacha is like sumchus. And several other places in Shastu. He holds that halacha is like sumchus. Since there are stamish nayas, this is one of them, stamish nayas are like sumchus, so we pass them like sumchus. And Taisus here, the bottom Taisus is chaylik, and other places as well, Taisus holds the halacha is not like sumchus. So the Rashbam over here is very meduic, the Rashbam is the shitasa. First of all, the Rashbam doesn't mention the question, well, what about the Marakama? Let's give it to the Marakama, and the Gemara's answer that it's going like Sumchus. The Rashbam leaves that out. Why does he leave it out? There it is. Because he holds, that doesn't need to be said. We hold like Sumchus. Like, that's the normative halacha, that a machlef par b'chamor is yachleikum. Like, yeah, nechnami, this Gemara didn't mention anything about Sumchus. Sumchus is normative halacha. Yeah, there is a chacham where chaylik and sumchus. So in the Gemara in Bamitzia, there's busy with sumchus and the Rabbanon. So the Gemara explains it's going like sumchus. We hold like sumchus, not going like the Rabbanon. Over here, the Rashbam doesn't need to explain anything. Yeah, this is the din. Hamach lepar bechamor. The din is yachleiku. If it's kaim of agam, the din is yachleiku. Because mamanam mutul l'safik is chaylik. If you learn sugis elsewhere about sumchus, you'll discover that's sumchus. But that's the halacha. It's not a little kimta. So therefore, if it will be shaloi lehalacha, the Rashbam would have to explain. You know, don't get confused. How come what happened over here to what happened over here to Marakama? No, don't get confused. This is a das yochid, it's sumchus, so that's why it has a strange halacha. But according to the Rashbam, holds that halacha is like sumchus. The stamish nayas are all like sumchus. So he doesn't need over here. If this would be a sugya about sumchus, so Rashbam would have to explain that it's sumchus. But you know, it's totally in sumchus. This is not a sugya about sumchus. We don't need to know about sumchus because why is it important? We just need to know that mamon amutul b'safek chalkum. So that's on the one end. So Rashbam is Shitosik, since he's passing by Sumchus, he doesn't need to speak out that this mission is going like Sumchus. On the other hand, the Rashbam does speak out that it's Kaim of Agma. Because if it would not be Kaim of Agma, then Sumchus is not going to help. If somebody's actually holding it, then even Sumchus would say, you give it to the fellow who's holding it. Vitoisus, since this mission is like Sumchus, so the emphasis is it doesn't have to be Kaim of Agma. Facts. What is my answer? So the Gemara answers, Hosom. So we have a kasha. By the way, we have a kasha. Machlef par b'chamor. We say yachleiku. Even though it's sumchus, let's say within the world of the Rashbam. Even though that mishnah happens to be sumchus, but so what? We all like sumchus, so we still have a kasha. That mishnah says that mamon amutul b'safik is chelkin. Now we can attach a name to it. It's sumchus, but that's the halacha. Mamon amutul b'safik is chelkin. So how come Rav Nachman said the kol dolim gvar? Mamon amutul b'safik should be chelkin. Very simple. The Gemara's question, Lufi the Rashbam, that the halacha is like sumchus. The Gemara's question, Taisus, who holds halacha is not like sumchus, he's going to have to grapple. What's the kasha? That's sumchus. We don't hold like sumchus. So what are you asking him now? So we'll see how Taisus deals with that. But the Rashbam doesn't have to deal with that at all, because the halacha is like sumchus. So fine. So what is it? Doesn't help anything to say that mission is sumchus, because sumchus is normative halacha. So Rav Nachman should not have passed it otherwise. So how come over there by Momen Amutul Sofik we say Chalkin, and how come by Rav Nachman we say Kol Dolan Gvar? So what is the Gemara answer? So the Gemara answer is Hosam Lahai Islay Dror De Mamayna Lahai Lahu Islay Dror De Mamayna Ochi Demalo Demavi Demalo Demar. That's the end of the suit. Dror De Mamayna. So we only say Yachleiku when it's a Dror De Mamayna. When it's a Dror De Mamayna we say Yachleiku. When it's not a Dror De Mamayna then we say Kol Dolan Gvar. What is the meaning of Dror De Mamayna? Zot Rashbam. Dvar de Mamayna means that each one at some point owned the par. Rashi Hosom. Gabi Yamach the par bechamor, the Chuvayu Isli Dvar de Mamayna. Shapor va Shifu Shal Shneim Hoysom. Vezeach Hazem. Kolecha Recha Toyin Parosi Vishichosi Yoldo Vyoysi Vishusi. Mashenke Mekarka, the next Rashi, Demadlo, Hoysa Karka Shalidu Chmeyelo. The difference, Dvar de Mamayna, according to Rashi, means each one when they're claiming that the Vlad is theirs, they're coming from the fact that the Par did belong to them at some point. That's called the Dror Dimimayna. In the case of Zemesh Shel Avaisai, there's no, each one's, according to, each one time is, this land was always mine. So his it's, so his time is, he's positing the land belongs to me. It was always mine. But the other one says it was never yours. So that's not called the Dror Dimimayna. So it's not so clear what this means. Why does this matter? I mean, I hear the distinction, but why does it matter? Why is the fact that there's a Dror Dimimayna by Machlepar v'chamar? According to Rashi, Dror Dimimayna means a shaychus of mammon. Each one has a shaychus. Objectively, each one has a shaychus to the Vlad. There's some objective reason why it's plausible that the Vlad belonged to them. It's like some reglaim would over that the Vlad belonged to them. Because they did at one point own the part. Shankam, in the case of Reb Nachman, there's nothing objective that he's basing his time on. Just each one says otherwise. So there's no shaychus of mammon that he necessarily, that we know that he has to the kark. So why does that affect the outcome? Why does that affect the dinner? Hashem doesn't really help us so much. He doesn't explain. I think the Pashat of Shaf. It's like this. What's the point of the Rashbam? The point of the Rashbam is that since each one has a shaychus of moment to the Vlad, so each one is coming with a strong taina. Because each one's taina is based on something that's objectively true. He really owned the bar at some point. So his taina is strong. Of course, the other fellow's taina is also strong. So like, in a way, it's a wash. Both tainas are very strong. But they're coming with strong tainas. Not coming with tainas that they're just not based on anything. Each one's coming with a taina that's backed by something that's certainly true. He owned the part. Okay, so why does that matter? So, what's misbakish is, if we follow the trajectory of the whole sugya up to this point, how'd the whole sugya go up to this point? We have it in Kol Dor LeGvar. So the Gemara asked, how can we say, sometimes we say Kol Dor LeGvar, and sometimes we say, Shnei Shtoros Yoytzim B'Yamechel, we say Achleiku or Shudo. So what's that? So the Gemara explained before, Ikel Mekel Milso Lekel Mekel Medimilso. So Rashbam explains, means, that in a case where, so Rashbam explained like this, that normally we would say Achleiku, because that's the psach for herself, because Achleiku or Shudo. But sometimes we don't want to say Achleiku, because we're afraid of not basting. So in cases where we're afraid to say Achleiku, so we walk away, we're mistalik. You see the Kol Dor LeGvar, the whole idea of Kol Dor LeGvar is in cases where we don't want a pastin for some reason, because we're afraid of Gnai Beis Din. So we don't pastin, and we just don't take the case, and we say Kol Dor LeGvar. So now the Gemara says, but that's not true. We can't walk away from the case where there's a Dror D'Mamayna, where they're coming to us with strong kindness. Even though Rashbam doesn't spell it out, but a lot of Hadovah and Mispakish is the Pshat and the Gemara. Because when they're coming with strong tainus, we don't have a right to walk away. If they're coming to us with nothing, just your word against my word, I say Shel Avaisai, you say Shel Avaisai. For all we know, maybe it's 100 other people in the world saying Shel Avaisai. So Beis Din can say, none of you are really showing us anything, so why should we take this case? There's nothing here. There's no there. So we're not going to take a case that's just vapor. So we can walk away from the case. We have the freedom to walk away because nobody's coming to us with such a strong taina. We can ignore the tainas. They're not backed by anything. Mashenka, in a case where they're coming with tainas that are based on a fact, he's coming with a taina, it's my para. It's very likely, it's my para. And if it's my para, there's a big taina, there's a big tzad that it's my vlad. And the other one also has a very strong taina. Each one has a strong claim. There's nobody else in the world who's even in the picture. These two people are coming with objective shaykhs to the vlad. So here, Beis Din does not have the freedom. Beis Din would like to walk away, because it might be a Gnai Beis Din. But we don't always have the freedom to walk away. You can walk away when the Baal Dinim are not coming to you with strong tainus. But when the Baal Dinim are coming to you with strong tainus, even though the two tainus are equally strong, it doesn't matter. They're coming to you with strong tainus. We can't ignore the Baal Dinim. So here we have no choice but to get involved, and we have to say Achleiku, and we'll take our lumps. If we'll have to be a Gnai Beis Din, we'll be a Gnai Beis Din.
Isn't this a riot then that it would be that Munach is a Din? Because of Eniyaholios Emes and not because of Ramai?
What?
Why wouldn't we say Munach over here? Shouldn't we say Munach because
Eniyaholios Emes? We would rather, why would we say Munach? Munach we only say when it's Eichsum. So we can't say kol danuva because ein lano nir shigzol eches chaver, right? And so that you hey munach is avayim, not our first. Yesh lodin, in the case of Torah d'Amoinim, can you say yemunach? Maybe we can't even walk away and say yemunach. I don't think that would be like likely true, but Akapana is something to do. Yemunach is have to do
daksim. How do we know by Zavosi that they don't have strong tainas? It just means that neither of their tainas are stronger than the other, but they might both have strong tainas.
What's strong tainas? They're just saying shalav
isa. Because it says that they don't have any more in edus.
I mean, what if they both have edus? What about it? What if it's a case of Zayim Shalavaisim and Zayim Shalavaisai, and they both have Eidim? I think it's still called weak times. Because even though they both have Eidim, that means that one of them, they can't both be true. So even though they both have Eidim, but one of those sets of Eidim are lying. So it's not objectively true that this fellow definitely has a shaykhus to the Kaka. They don't definitely have a shaykh to the kaka. One of them is a shaykh to the kaka, and the other one is nothing. We just don't know which one it is. Here, what we mean when we say they have strong time, it's not that they have edim. What it means is that we know for a fact that they both own the par. So they both really have, they're both really related to the vlad. You know, if it's not mamish's par's vlad, but at least it's his former par's vlad or his future par's vlad. So they both have a real shaykhus to the par. They have a real shaykhus to the moment. That's really true. So now they're coming to us not as tzamas, you know. So they're coming to us as people who have a shaykhus to the vlad, but they don't know whose vlad it actually is. So those are times that we can't walk away from. But kind of zemish levayis, zemish levayis. One of them is lying. One of them is his, and one of them was never his. One of them has nothing to do with the case. One of them has nothing to do with the karka, and one of them owns the karka. So they're based and could walk away. That's the fee. With the Rashi. So the Fi Rashi, Dvar D'Mamayna is a reason not to say Kol Dolan Bar. It's not a reason to say Achleik. It's a reason not to say Kol Dolan Bar. And the nature of the reason is because they're coming with strong times. Each one certainly owned the par at some point, so they have each one really has a shaykhus to the vlad. A shaykhus, that's according to Rashi, Dvar means a shaykhus. Each one has a shaykhus to the vlad. It's not mamish his vlad, but he's some chutim with the vlad. So each one has a shaykhus. So in Mela, we can't walk away, and we can't say kol dolan vlad. So it's a reason not to say kol dolan vlad. I think Taisus is chelik. How do I know? Look at Taisus, top of Amud Beis. Taisus says, "Dvar d'Mamayna." First of all, Taisus says a different pshat than Dvar d'Mamayna. Taisus says, "Pirush the dal tanasayu mehocha yesofik lebeistim veheimenayar hevei avlat." So Taisus has a new translation of Dvar d'Mamayna. Not that each one has a shaychus to the moment, like Rashbam, but that the which we're translating to mean the tainas are strong and therefore we can't walk away. Taisa translates Dvar D'Mamayna to mean that the suffix is a suffix that Beistin has without the times. But in Metzias, it's related in Metzias. Cases of Dvar D'Mamayna for Taisus are very likely going to be Dvar D'Mamayna for the Rashbam. Maybe always, maybe some, maybe most. I haven't thought of all the possible cases, but it's certainly a different Hadgosha. If you're the Rashbam, the Hadgosha is that they're coming with strong tainus because they really both have a shaykhus to the vlad. According to Taisus, it's a whole different idea. That the suffix is a different kind of suffix. It's not a suffix that's created by the tainus. It's a suffix that Beisdin has on their own. We'll see in a minute why I think Taisus has to hold away. The Taisus goes on and says, I'm skipping a little bit. V'chein b'chol mokim, it's in the narrow lines already in Taisus, like four lines down. V'chein b'chol mokim the pligi rabbanon b'sumchus. And likewise, in Kol HaShas, wherever Rabbanan and Sumchus are arguing, it's always the case of Dvar D'Mamayna. It means, Taisus is saying over here, and this is Taisus Shita throughout Shas, that the Machlaik of Sumchus and the Rabbanan is only by Dvar D'Mamayna. With Sumchus' Shita, that moment of Mutl Vesafik is Chalkin B'lei Shvu, and you take it away from the Muksuk, It's only when there's a drawer d'mimayna. When there's no drawer d'mimayna, sumchus didn't stay chalfi. Then even sumchus agrees to give it to the muhsin. And it's mashman taisus that he reads it into this gemara, that that's what the gemara is saying. The gemara is saying, when the gemara says that there's a drawer d'mimayna, the gemara is saying, sumchus's din of drawer d'mimayna is only by, sumchus's din of yachalik is only by drawer d'mimayna. If this drawer d'mimayna business is just a reason why we can't say kol d'olam gvar, then what does that do with machlekes simchus and Ramon? It's just an explanation why we don't say kol d'olam gvar. We don't say kol d'olam gvar because they're coming strong time. We can't walk away, so we have to pass them. But it has nothing to do with how we should pass them. How we should pass them is machlekes simchus and Ramon. Do we say achleku? Do we say ma'isim mechaver l'varai? What does that have to do with drawer d'mimayna? It's muchuch that Taisus learned that the svar of drawer d'mimayna is not a reason why we, the fact that there's a drawer de Moina is not a reason why we cannot say kol d'olam gvar, why we don't have the freedom to walk away like in the Rashbam. Drawer de Moina is a reason that we have to say achleku. Even though it'll be a gnai based on maybe, we have to say achleku. Because if you lose for drawer de Moina, that drawer de Moina is nechayev achleku. Says, so what's the shot? Why is drawer d'mimayna mechayev achleku? It can't be just because they have strong tainus. Why is strong tainus mechayev achleku? But they have equally strong tainus. By zemer shel avayse, by zemer shel avayse, they might both have. I mean, why is the fact that they both have strong tainus? If drawer d'mimayna just meant like the Rashbam that they have strong tainus, but they both have strong tainus, that's not a reason to say achleku. Maybe we'll say kol d'olam gvar. We'll walk away. They both have strong tainus. Let's walk away. Taisus has to learn that drawer d'mimayna means that the suffix is very big. It's not a suffix that comes out of their tainus. There's an objective suffix. And people who have it, when there's an objective suffix, the suffix is mechayev that we should say achleku. The suffix demands the achleku. An objective suffix demands the achleku. A little bit getting ahead of myself, but I think that the Havana is that Taisus holds that drawer d'mimayna, that a suffix of b'lo tanis name is suffix lebeisim, which is like an objective suffix. It's a very strong suffix. It's a suffix that's in the world. It doesn't need their tainus. The suffix doesn't just come from he says, she says. The suffix comes from the facts of the case. This case says suffix. So when you have such a suffix that b'lo tanis name is suffix lebeisim, the suffix itself gives each one of them a schus in the chalukah. Since there's a statistical objective possibility, 50% chance that it's mine, 50% chance that it's his. So that itself gives me a schus to be tevei achaluk. If there's no other evidence, it gives me a schus to be tevei achaluk. So I'm coming with a schus to be tevei achaluk. So basically, can't walk away. I'm coming with a schus. That's what Taisus understands rather than the way. So maybe Taisus says, first of all, obviously Taisus can't learn like the Rashbam that rather than the way means that each one has a shaykhus to the moment, so each one has strong kindness. So what if these Taisus needs to? The nekuda is not that they have strong tainus, because the other guy also has strong tainus. So let's walk away. The nekuda is that the metzias demands that the metzias gives them a schus chalukah. It's a metzias of suffolk. A metzias of suffolk gives me a schus to have to be tenei chalukah. Meila Taisus says, if that's the case, then sumcha said yachalku even to be meitzif from a muksuk. But he said it in the case of Dorad Mamayna, where the Metzias of Sofa gives me the right to demand the Chalukah. So there I see that some Chosholz goes so far that I could demand the Chalukah even against the Muxer. And Chacham say, oh, that far we don't go. But in a case where there's no Dorad Mamayna, that means that he doesn't have a Schus to be Tevei Chalukah. There's just a Chalukah based on his Sofa, based on the Gemek of Shor. But it's not that he's coming with a Schus to demand the Chalukah. So then, loy shamanu that sumchus would hold that overrides yachleku, that overrides amitzim mechaveru override. So therefore, Taisus says chalmokim wherever we find sumchus in chacham arguing, it's always cases of drawer d'mimayna. And drawer d'mimayna means that he has that the metzias itself gives him a right to demand the chalukah. So that's where we find that Simcha says that the right to demand the chaluka overrides the mitzvah of kavel of a right. But in cases where it's not a drudim and minor leishamayim, then probably Simcha agrees to chachamim that hamitzvah of kavel of a right. Why make up pshara when the guy's a muchsum? It comes out. It's tremendous yisaitis over here. It comes out. It's two ways to read the Gemara, but from these two ways to read the Gemara, it comes out different worlds. The Gemara is making a distinction. Every time you have a distinction, you have to know what's the Gemara. In one case, we say kol dolengvar, in the other case, we say yachlik. By Zeri Mishal Weis, we say kol dolengvar, and by Machlet Par Bechamor, we say yachlik. What's the difference? Well, in one case, it's Dorah Demoin, in one case, it's not a Dorah Demoin. So what's the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean that when there's not a Dorah Demoin, that Dorah Demoin is a reason not to say kol dolengvar, or that Dorah Demoin is a reason why we have to say yachlik, even though there's a Gnai based on it? So the Rashbam learned the first way. The Dorah Demoin is a reason not to say kol dolengvar. So what's the reason not to say kol dolengvar? Because kol dolengvar means we walk away, we're mistalik. So, but when they're coming with strong kindness, we don't have a right to be mistalik. You can't, the guy say, you know, he's coming with strong kindness, he owned the parah, at one point he owned the parah, his kindness is very strong, so he says, basically, you can't just walk away from me. I'm not a nobody, I'm a bala parah over here, so you have to listen to my case. So we can't be mistalik. That's the Rashbam. Lefi the Rashbam, this is nothing to do, it's just a reason not to say kol dolengvar. It has nothing to do with the machlekes sumchas the rabbanu per se, whether you say achlek or whether you say kol, or whether you say hamaisim chamel avaraya. It's just a reason why kol dolengvar is out of the picture. But as far as sumchas the rabbanu is concerned, you know, maybe they're arguing cases by even where it's not a drudim amayim. So if it's not a drudim amayim, maybe you say kol dolengvar. But cases where for some reason you're not going to say kol dolengvar. Not always do we say kol dolengvar. Akapanim lefi. Again, I don't have to make up all the cases and figure out all the cases and all the permutations, but the bottom line is Lafid the Rashbam is we're not saying something about why Sumcha said Yachleku or what are the parameters of Machleku Sumcha's Nechamim. We're just explaining why Kol Dolengvar is not an option. Kol Dolengvar is not an option because it's a Dor Demoin and they have strong times. Taisus learns with the Pshat Nemar the other way around that we would love to say Kol Dolengvar because we're afraid of Gnai Beistin, but we can't. Why can't we say kol dolengvar? Because he's coming with a drar d'mamayna. A drar d'mamayna means the light on his same yisafik lebeisim. There's a suffix that goes out of the mitzias. With a suffix that goes out of the mitzias, they have a right to be tevei achaluka. If they have a right to be tevei achaluka, then we can't walk away and say kol dolengvar. Mele zav toisus. If that's the pshat, so then mistama. That's why that's why we see the sumchas holds that it goes so far that you say chalukin even against the muksuk. Because the right to be Tervei Chalukah is even against the Muksuk. But in a Mokum where it's not a Dorah D'Mamayna, and they don't have a right to be Tervei Chalukah, then Lo Shemanu, then Sumchus Kribi L'Chacham, then Amay Tzimei Chaveh, Alav Arayah. We'll stop here. The one thing I still want to do is Taisus and Kufei Yom Aleph. Taisus and Kufei Yom Aleph, I want to do tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'll say tomorrow, but if I say tomorrow or Sunday, I want to do Taisus and Kufei Yom Aleph. And then from there, we're going to go straight to Taisus and Kufei Yom Aleph.